Whereas in June of 1970, the largest bankruptcy in American history shocked Wall Street, the White House, and millions of ordinary citizens who thought their investments were safer than government bonds. Penn Central Railroad, formed just 2 years earlier from the merger of two legendary rail lines, owed $3.2 billion when it collapsed. Adjusted for inflation, that's over $24 billion today, dwarfing even Lehman Brothers when measured against the economy of its time. But here's what made this bankruptcy different from every corporate failure before or since. Penn Central wasn't a speculative startup or a struggling industrial dinosaur. It was considered one of the safest investments in America. Pension funds, insurance companies, and widows' trusts all held Penn Central bonds because they were supposed to be as secure as the steel rails themselves. The real mystery isn't that Penn Central went bankrupt. It's that nobody, not the board, not Wall Street analysts, not even the federal regulators who watched the company daily, saw it coming until 72 hours before the end. This is the story of how America's largest railroad became America's largest fraud, hidden in plain sight. On February 1st, 1968, two giants of American industry joined together in what the press called the merger of the century. The Pennsylvania Railroad and the New York Central Railroad had competed for over a century, laying parallel tracks across the same routes, building duplicate terminals, and bleeding cash in a rivalry that dated back to the Civil War. For decades, industry experts argued that combining these two would create efficiencies that could save both companies. Stuart Saunders, the chairman who orchestrated the deal, promised shareholders that the merger would save $80 million annually through eliminated redundancies. Wall Street believed him. The stock traded at healthy levels. Bond ratings remained investment grade. But inside the newly formed Penn Central Transportation Company, something else was happening entirely. The two railroads had different operating systems, incompatible computer networks, and management teams that despised each other. Pennsylvania Railroad executives refused to take orders from New York Central managers, and vice versa. Freight cars from one system would arrive at switching yards controlled by the other and simply sit there, sometimes for weeks, because no one wanted to process the paperwork. Alfred Perlman, who had run New York Central before the merger, fought constantly with David Bevin, the chief financial officer inherited from Pennsylvania Railroad. Perlman wanted to invest in new equipment and cut unprofitable passenger routes. Bevin wanted to diversify into real estate and other businesses to offset railroad losses. Saunders sided with Bevin, not because the strategy was sound, but because Bevin controlled the financial reporting. And Bevin had discovered something remarkable. He could make the railroad look profitable on paper even as it hemorrhaged cash in reality. David Bevin was not a railroad man. He was a financier, trained at the University of Pennsylvania's Wharton School, and he understood something that the old line railroad executives did not. Accounting could be far more flexible than steel rails. Penn Central owned enormous amounts of real estate, station properties in city centers, rail yards that had appreciated dramatically in value, mineral rights, and development land. Bevin created a complex web of subsidiaries and partnerships to manage these assets, keeping them technically separate from the railroad's operations. When the railroad lost money, Bevin would sell a piece of real estate from one subsidiary to another at an inflated price, booking the gain as operating income. On paper, Penn Central reported profits. In cash flow reality, the railroad was burning through reserves. In 1968, Penn Central reported a profit of $87 million. The railroad's actual operating loss that year was $183 million. The difference was accounting fiction. Paper transactions between subsidiaries that generated no actual cash. Bevin doubled down on diversification, acquiring stakes in an airline, an oil company, a hotel chain, and even an amusement park. Penn Central bought Executive Jet Aviation, a private aircraft company, for $21 million in cash at the exact moment the railroad couldn't afford to repair its own locomotives.